Welcome to Benefits. What, like it's hard? The podcast that breaks down the truths and misconceptions about all things benefits. Not only do we talk about what you should know about the benefits offered to you through your employer, but we also tackle topics on physical and financial wellness. I mean, come on. What more could you want from a podcast? Join me, Libby Allison, each week to hear from people just like you sharing their own experiences and experts giving us the inside scoop on the information we need to be successful. Hi, everyone. Today we have Jack Daly with us today, and we are going to talk about, both of our decisions to come onto Horan's plan after being on our parents' plan.
We are.
Hi,
hello.
Jack. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So, why are you coming onto Horan's plan?
So, I'm not 26 yet, turned 26 in a couple months, but my mom just retired, so I got kicked off the family plan, and here I am on my own, so.
Okay.
Kind of got thrust into this decision.
You got thrusted into it before I did, because I'm coming on to Horan's plan because I sadly turned 26 in October. So my effective date on Horan's benefits was November 1st.
Getting old.
When are you coming on? What's the date?
So I was effective, or I will be effective 1-1.
Okay.
Still riding out that Cobra until the beginning of the year, and then effective 1-1.
So to remind everyone what Cobra is, Cobra basically extends your coverage if for some reason you were to lose coverage with your employer. So you get like a certain amount of time that you can keep your benefit, but you'll pay the full amount. So you won't get that employer contribution that you're getting while you're active on the plan, but you can stay on. It's just a little bit more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive in to the choices that we made.
Sure.
During our enrollment or qualifying event is what it really was for us. So let's start with the medical plan. So
yeah.
Horan has two plans, a high deductible plan and a PPO plan.
Mm-hmm.
Which plan did you choose?
So I chose to go on the high deductible plan. I'm pretty healthy. I see the doctor pretty infrequently throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
No real prescriptions throughout the year that are costly. So the availability of the HSA with the high deductible health plan and then the cheaper premiums fit perfectly into what I was looking for. So yeah, that's the decision I made.
So you are going to enroll in the health savings account?
I am, yeah. Just having that that money available to you tax-free is a good benefit that I'm definitely going to utilize throughout the year.
So I also chose the high deductible plan for basically the same reasons as you. I'm generally healthy. I avoid going to the doctor at all costs unless I absolutely feel like I have to go or it's for my preventive exams.
Sure.
And I've talked in previous podcasts on how an HSA is on my wish list. So I was not going to pass up this opportunity and excitement around actually having a health savings account.
Yeah, it's free money. I get it.
Yeah. Well, in our case, it's free money because Horan contributes to our HSA if we do certain things. So at Horan, if we get a biometric screening and we visit our PCP and we visit a health coach 4 times within a year, they'll match a certain amount. As long as we're putting in an amount, they'll match up to a certain amount if we complete those items. So my tactic with the health savings account right now is just to get that match. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not maxing out my HSA. I'm just putting in enough to get the match.
Sure.
What are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm doing the same. Right now, I think, so I'm putting a decent amount in every pay period. As Libby mentioned, I'm not necessarily maxing it out to the full capacity, but the availability of the employer match is something that was definitely a huge perk. So just being able to receive that benefit is something I was definitely looking for.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of how you're going to utilize your HSA? Because we've talked in previous podcasts about the different strategies behind HSA. And there's essentially two different ways when it comes to spending. So,
mm-hmm.
like, some people just don't spend any of the money. They just save it, let it grow, and they're going to either save it, like, for future expenses when they turn 65, or save it for when something catastrophic happens so that they really have that bank built up? Or do you think, as you do have your few visits, or if for some reason you have to, you know, take a prescription for whatever reason, do you think you'll actually use your HSA, or do you think you'll just leave it?
Yeah, sure. So I definitely understand the whole mindset behind just using it as almost just a savings account, which I fully do understand. It's in the name. But when I think of an HSA, I think of just using it for the medical expenses that you might run into throughout the year. So I don't necessarily squirrel it away for the future. I mean, to some degree, I will. I don't imagine that I'll use the entirety of it this year. But I'll most likely just use it as opportunity comes and just use those dollars when required.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Jack just got engaged, so he's getting married soon. Do you think that, Abby is his fiance. Is Abby on a high deductible plan? Do you know?
She is. Yep. She works for hospital, so they have super rich benefits. But, so she is on a high deductible health plan. She utilizes her HSA. She doesn't necessarily get as rich of a match as we do.
Yeah.
So definitely a little bit, but not as, she's not as lucky as we are. But I do stress to her the importance of using that account as the opportunities and necessities come up and arise throughout the year.
Yeah, that's good. I'm also engaged, and I was talking to my fiance about his HSA, and I asked him how much money he has in there and how much he's putting away, and he looked at me like a deer in headlights. He has no idea. He doesn't know what's coming out of his paycheck. He doesn't know how much. He knows that he gets a match from his employer, but he doesn't know how much it is. And I helped him enroll in his benefits when he first got started there.
Sure.
But, like, he literally has no idea. He doesn't look at his pay stub, clearly. And he just, I'm like, how are you? It hurts me inside knowing that this is what I do for a living, to know that he's not looking at that. But I think that so many people are doing that. So part of the reason why we're having this conversation today is just to kind of emphasize how important it is to really sit down and think about the benefits that you're enrolling in and know that your life is going to change. So, like, in my fiance's case, he doesn't care because he doesn't use his benefits.
Right.
So he's not re-looking. He doesn't have to re-enroll every year. It just rolls over.
Yeah.
So he just literally doesn't know what his benefits even are. But it's so important to know what that is for, you know, you never know when a rainy day is going to come.
Nope, absolutely. and especially with who knows what the future holds for you two. So it's good to have that money just stashed away.
Right.
You know, like you said, in case that opportunity does come where you need to have that cash.
Yeah. So. Okay, let's move on to the next benefit. So let's talk about dental. Did you pick up dental coverage?
I did, yes.
Okay. And Horan has a preventive plan.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the only thing that's covered are your cleanings and x-rays, right?
Right,
okay.
Yes.
And then on the, there is a buy-up plan that gives you, like, your basic and major and orthodontia coverage.
Yep.
So which plan did you choose?
Yeah, sure. So I have terrible teeth, awful teeth. I had a root canal when I was very young. So dental insurance is something that's near and dear to my heart, unfortunately. Trying to not break the bank every year.
Yeah.
So I did sign up for the buy-up plan.
Okay.
Funny enough, I actually went to the dentist last week, so I was scrambling just to make sure that I signed up for the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh shoot, this could be bad. say I have a cavity, I definitely don't want to pay for that out of pocket.
Right.
But yeah, so the buy-up plan was an option that fit best to my needs, and it's a good benefit, and I actually recommend that most people, if not all, take the buy-up plan, just because you never really know what can happen throughout the year. You might chip a tooth, you might grind your teeth at night and things like that, and this is the type of a benefit plan that can definitely assist you in those potential issues.
So this is an interesting conversation, because I enrolled in the preventive plan.
Ooh.
And I did that because generally I have pretty good luck with my teeth. I hadn't gone, I had one like slip up and I totally blame myself where I just didn't, I was in college. I didn't go to the dentist. And then I ended up going after like 4 years of not going and I had four cavities. Oh. And it was mortifying, honestly mortifying. I had only had like one other cavity in my life ever. So, but I started thinking about it and I was like, worse comes to worse. If I really, really need something, it's already November.
Right.
And our enrollment happens in July. I probably can wait a few months if something does come up when I go to the dentist and enroll in the buy-up plan if I do need to have something done.
Sure.
So yeah. That was my thought. And you save a pretty decent amount of money being on the preventive plan also. So I looked into that. I also looked into not taking dental insurance at all. So this is something that I actually encourage people to do. I called my dentist and I asked how much it would cost me to get two cleanings and my x-ray.
Sure.
Without paying for dental insurance. And it ended up that it was going to cost me more if I didn't take the dental plan, but I don't think that's always the case. I think sometimes if you're just getting the preventive coverage done, you can end up saving money.
Yeah.
Also, dentists have their own plans these days where mm-hmm. you can buy into their plan and then get a discounted service for being on their plan. So it's right. a good question to ask. I straight up asked my dentist, what would happen if I didn't have dental insurance, and they recommended that I have it.
See, that's funny. When I am discussing dental insurance with individuals, it's funny. Dental insurance, in my eyes, isn't necessarily insurance. It's more of a discount.
Yeah.
So I fully understand where you're coming from in that regard, in that sometimes it may be cheaper to go the no coverage route. Although I'll tell you what, I'm not that risky. I like the peace of mind of knowing that I have that dental insurance card in my back pocket, and I don't know. It makes me sleep at night, I'll tell you that.
No, I do have some anxiety with only being on the preventive plan. Because if something does come up, you know, I'm 6 months away from being able to change my decision. So
mm-hmm.
we'll see what happens. Maybe we can do a follow-up episode on this to see if it ended up actually working out for me or not. But I chose preventive, so
we'll see.
I don't
what
know.
This year holds.
Wish me luck.
Not candy for Libby.
Okay. Let's talk vision.
Okay.
I know you took that coverage.
I sure did. yeah. So I've had glasses since I was in, I believe, first grade, maybe second. Regardless, terrible eyes, almost legally blind. It's awful. So vision insurance, much like dental, is something that's very important to me. The thing about vision is you get a pretty substantial benefit for a small premium every paycheck. So when I'm thinking about vision insurance, no matter whether or not you have good eyes, bad eyes, it's always important to have, because this will potentially cover things like glaucoma. And it's crazy the amount of things about your just general health that you can find out from your eye doctor.
Right.
They can do so many tests that can indicate further potential issues or things of that nature that are going on with your general health just by going to your vision checkup once or maybe twice a year. So with it being so cheap, I think that it's a huge benefit to take, and one that I definitely check the box on every year.
So you have glasses and contacts, right?
I do. So contacts are expensive, let me tell you. And that's why, so typically, actually, I believe that our plan covers contacts up to, I think, $130 allowance or something like that.
$110.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that should be enough to cover at least some, if not all, of 6 months' worth of contacts. And much to my dismay, I'm not the best with my contacts. I tend to stretch them a little bit longer than you should, just in hopes of of being able to delay that purchase of a new couple boxes of contacts. So, having
but,
that...
But you wear glasses a lot.
I do wear my glasses a lot.
I never see you without your glasses, I feel like.
Yeah, so for a while, I would wear my contacts every day. There was actually a couple years straight where I just... I would wear my contacts only when I was getting in bed and getting out of bed. So there's a small, a very small window of time when I would wear my glasses. But working in an office environment, sitting in front of a computer every day, my eyes get super dry. And if I just stare at a screen all day with my contacts in, I feel like they're just truly glued to my eyes.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, it's just easier. But yeah. Wear my contacts when I work out and things like that. Just makes life a little bit easier.
So do you use your vision benefit for contacts then?
Actually, so this year, since I did fall off my medical plan, I also fell off vision. So I utilized my parents' vision benefit right before I got kicked off. And then I, having just enrolled in vision, effective 11-1, I believe, I can use that for new glasses for this year. So I get a... I'm lucky enough to be able to double dip for this year.
For this year, yeah. I did that in the past. I was on, obviously I was on my parents' plan, and then I was offered it through Iran, and I got contacts on one plan and glasses mm-hmm. on another. So
best of both worlds.
For those of you who don't know, on a vision plan, typically you can only get either or. You can't get both contacts and frames
mm-hmm.
or lenses.
Correct.
Am I saying that right?
It's
you
either
can get frames, you can't get lenses.
You can get frames, it's either contact lenses or physical lenses.
You're right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's typically in lieu of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you kind of have to pick and choose which one you want. I personally, you will never see me in my glasses. Every time I wear glasses, people ask me, people are like surprised that I wear glasses because I hate wearing glasses. So I always use my vision benefit
mm-hmm.
for contacts, but I don't know what I'm going to do when I eventually need a new pair of glasses. I guess I'll have to figure that out. I just got a new pair, so I'm good right now.
Recently, there have been companies that are coming out that just offer great frames and lenses and things like that at a pretty affordable rate, so I think that the times of super expensive glasses and things like that are coming to an end, or at least slowing down.
The trend is going to...
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Just because, like Libby said, people run into that issue where they need new glasses.
Yeah.
They've been wearing the same glasses for years, and it's just time for an update or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you want to be,
sit on them,
be stylish.
Yeah, you got to be stylish, or you sat on your glasses, and, I mean, it happens. So, yeah, I think that definitely vision is something that should be important to everyone's benefit package.
So, what about voluntary life? Did you take any coverage?
Yeah, so voluntary life is one thing that I was definitely teetering on. I'll start off by saying I did not take it. I don't know. I'm young and I'm healthy, so I didn't necessarily think that it was the most important thing for me to enroll in. Depends on who you ask. Some people are huge advocates for voluntary life. Some people think that it's great to have that additional life benefit. Say you unfortunately may run into that issue. But yeah, that's definitely not something that I felt that was necessary to my benefits package for the year. So I chose to decline.
I declined to open enrollment, and I wasn't able to sign up as a qualifying event. So
right.
Now I have to wait until July, and I'm okay with it because
uh-huh.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, where I feel like if I died, it would be because of an accident. It would be
right.
like some crazy situation, but those situations do happen.
They do.
And I don't know. I just feel like for me, I have some student loan debt. I have a house now. I have all of these things that if something were to happen to me, I would want for my fiance to be able to take care of those things without
sure.
me being here. So I do think that at the next open enrollment period, I'm going to add a little bit of coverage just to make sure that he's taken care of if anything were to happen to me.
You're such a giver.
I'm really nice.
I'm
going to make him do the same. Don't you worry.
You better believe it. The thing about voluntary life insurance is, I mean, as any insurance is it's a risk. So you have to weigh out your options and see is this money better used somewhere else? Is there an alternative that I can utilize opposed to this? And things like that. So I think either way, you don't necessarily have a wrong choice in whether you elect or decline. But like we both said, it's a personal choice and one that I thought long and hard about, but just weighed my options and it wasn't something I thought was important.
Okay. So we'll just go through the last benefit that we have at Horan. We have some other ancillary stuff like student loan gifting and pet insurance and like I'm personally taking advantage of our student loan gifting program.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that those are things that you just want to make sure that you're aware of those things. You know, make sure that you know all of the benefits that are offered to you. Ask your human resources team to go through everything with you or at least send you information on all of your options, because if I didn't know that Horan had this student loan gifting program, I'd be really sad. I mean, that's a really great benefit.
Right.
But so last benefit that I think is important to talk about is the critical illness and accident.
Sure.
Do you have either of those plans?
I don't. So much like, as we were just saying, voluntary life insurance, it's one of the things where you kind of just have to weigh your options and see what would really benefit you from these two benefits. Accident insurance is one that I think is really important if you do have a family, if you have young children. A lot of the times you see this benefit being used for kids playing sports. They're breaking bones, they're twisting their ankle, things like that. That's where this benefit really starts to pay out, I think. I don't necessarily think that being in the office, so many hours a week I am, I'm going to be breaking my arm or twisting my ankle. So I didn't necessarily think that was an important line of coverage for myself, nor did I think that critical illness would either. As I'd mentioned, I'm pretty healthy. I go to the doctor maybe once or twice a year, and everything has, so far, crossed my fingers, come out pretty well. So maybe in the future that's something I'll enroll in, but right now I just didn't think that it was necessary, and I'd rather spend the money elsewhere. So
yeah, I enrolled in the critical illness plan. I don't have the accident plan, basically for the same reason that you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not super active besides going to the gym, so accidents happen very rarely for me. But with the critical illness plan we have, and I would encourage anyone who has these plans offered to you to look into this, but with the critical illness plan, we have a wellness benefit, and
mm-hmm.
I think ours is $150. So basically what that means is if I go and get a preventive exam,
mm-hmm.
so this year, so Horan every year offers biometrics at our office.
Sure.
So I take advantage of that. I literally just mailed in my results with a claim form to the critical illness insurance company, and they, you know, within a couple of weeks they mailed me back a check
just for
getting that done. And it honestly, I can't remember if I end up even or a little bit over, but it pays for my premium in the end.
That check, are they just dollars that you can use however you wish? Or,
yeah, it's a literal check just made out to you.
Okay.
And I honestly didn't believe how easy it was going to be. Like, when I first decided to sign up for critical illness, I was like, this is going to be a whole hassle. I'm going to
mm-hmm.
have to, like, jump through hoops to get this money. No. I literally printed my statement with my results, mailed it in with a claim form. I had to have our HR person sign my form,
mm-hmm.
but she did that within a day of me asking her to.
Sure.
And then I literally stuck it in an envelope, mailed it out, and a couple weeks later I had a check in hand that I just deposited into my account.
Okay.
And it felt like a little bonus for me too, because while yes, money is coming out of my paycheck, you just don't feel that sometimes.
Nope, it's play money. Yeah.
So I think it's a good benefit, and you also never know what's going to happen, and when
you're right.
you are diagnosed with a critical illness, that usually comes with some pretty big bills, so recognizing that you should at least be, you know, thinking that there is a risk that something is going to happen to you
mm-hmm.
and as it comes to a critical illness at some point in your life, it's worth thinking about enrolling in.
Sure.
And with the accident plan, you also never know. I mean, taking an ambulance somewhere is expensive.
Yes.
And going to an emergency room is expensive. And those types of things are covered on an accident plan typically. So it'll pay you a lump sum benefit just to help you offset those big bills that you're going to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you can use your HSA. But if you can avoid taking money out or however, you know, if you can avoid that or reimburse yourself somehow, why wouldn't you do that?
No, I get it. You're right. And it's that flip side of the coin that makes me think, oh, maybe I was a little naive to not sign up for these plans. But, hey, I guess you can't win them all. So.
No, and I think when you're young, like when you're our age, because we're both, I'm 26, you're 25.
Yep.
Almost 26.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Like, you're just not thinking about that stuff. There's
no.
Other things going on. You're trying to kind of make your way in the
right.
world.
Making my mortgage payments,
yeah.
paying off my car. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of other expenses
yeah.
that my mind is going towards before I think about the accident and critical illness. And
yeah.
Like I said, maybe that's naive. Who knows? But
well, we both have weddings to pay for, so we can
yeah.
use every dollar we can get.
Right. You're going to pay for mine, right?
No.
Hmm. That's
you pay for mine, and I'll pay for yours. We'll both have very expensive ones.
Sheesh.
If that happened. Okay, well, any other thoughts on your benefits?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know. One thing I do always stress is making sure you update your beneficiary. That's one thing that's really important with life insurance.
Yeah.
Too many times have I seen that pan out in a way that it should not have. So making sure that when you do go through open enrollment that you indicate who your correct beneficiary is
yeah.
is something that I definitely like to stress. It's super easy and just one thing you can get checked off and you're done. So
yeah.
when the time comes, you just want to make sure that's done correctly.
Yeah,
so,
totally agree.
That's all I have.
Same.
Good.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
See you next time. Nothing we say in this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be construed as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there is any discrepancy between what we say and your plan document will always prevail.